Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, our reading from Matthew chapter 6, which you heard read already this morning, forces us to go beyond our prayers of, thanks God for all my stuff, or help me get more stuff, Lord, and I think properly so. Our words from Jesus this morning contained in Matthew chapter 6 emphasizes that the Father, who has demonstrated his generosity throughout creation, knows our needs. And if we will seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, it says in verse 33 that all these things will be given to you as well. So Jesus this morning, he invites his disciples back then. He invites his disciples now to remember that we are living our lives under the Father's care. What God wants of us, if I just may break it down, is a grateful heart. And within that grateful heart that he desires for you and I leads directly then to a thankful life or to thankful living. And let me add that the Christian, you and I, who puts Jesus' counsel into practice, can have a tremendous witness. It can be life-saving both to the person who does the proclaiming and has the thankful living, and for those who are bared witness to. Thankful living draws people to you, which then allows you to draw them and lead them to Christ. In today's reading, then, from Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 33, it comes early in the Matthew's telling of Jesus' death, life, and resurrection. And let me paint the scene a little bit for you this morning. His disciples and him are gathered on a hillside. They're out in the open. So when Jesus talks about grass and birds and lilies, they're sitting amongst the grass, the birds, and the lilies on that hillside, most likely. And today's reading doesn't exist in isolation either. Jesus just doesn't take the disciples out on that mountainside to talk to them about worry. Our reading this morning is just a tiny portion of the larger teaching session that Jesus gives called the Sermon on the Mount. And it's during these chapters of Matthew that Jesus tells his first disciples about the Lord's Prayer, the Beatitudes, right? Things like, blessed are the poor, the merciful, the peacemaker. He goes on and talks about loving our enemies. He goes on and talks about the golden rule. Jesus gives the disciples and then us as well a little bit of guidance about wealth and power. And these verses that come right before our reading that are contained in the chapter 6 of Matthew, verses 1 to 23, or 24, excuse me, they're related to our text. Why are they related to our text of Matthew 6, 25 to 33? Because they emphasize a life focused on God, verses 1 to 23 of chapter 6. They focus on seeking godly approval rather than human approval. They're seeking spiritual things rather than material rewards. The purpose of these spiritual endeavors that Jesus talks about in those previous verses is to do God's will. That's how we do God's will. And then specifically in our reading for today, Jesus focuses on the theme of worry. And so let's keep Jesus' words in context here. It's good to know what happened immediately before this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, as he taught his disciples, I think, one of life's most timeless truths on the screen for you. Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Either you hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And money means earthly wealth, earthly possessions. So that's verse 23 of Matthew chapter 6. And then right, ours starts in 25. And on the screen for you, Jesus immediately says after he said that, therefore, and you know when Jesus says therefore, you're to sit up and pay attention because it was important of what he said before. And he says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. So those words that Jesus said, don't worry about your life, they're in response to the reality that he just said something that probably caused worry to the disciples he was talking to right then, right? They were hearing that the life of following Jesus wasn't about the accumulation and the attachment to the stuff of the world, to the wealth of the world, to the position of the world. Worry. Worry, worry, worry. Worry can also be translated as troubled and anxious. And not only troubled and anxious, but anxious to the point of exhaustion. Worry is apparently timeless, is it not? It's been a long-standing reality for human beings for a very long time, worry. Perhaps the specific content of our worries here in Sioux Falls or in South Dakota here in this year 2024 have changed somewhat over the thousands of years since the original disciples heard this from Jesus. But let me add that us humans, we have spent an unnecessary large amount of time worrying to the point of emotional exhaustion for a long time now, which drains away time and energy. Worry. And I'm thinking in our modern world, as far as I can see, we live in the midst of a culture that thrives on worry, on our discomfort, on our inability to live with uncertainty. That's a lot of what worry is about, right? You ever think about worry? It's about what our mind does to resist the unknown, the uncertainty that are in our lives. Worry is really a way that we try to manage this uncertainty that comes into our lives, the unknowns. Let me say, uncertainty and the unknowns, they are an inevitable part of life, are they not? There's always going to be things that we don't know, we can't predict. But when we're uncomfortable with this uncertainty, our brains begin to spin and they begin to worry. And worry, as far as I can tell, mimics control. It's a way to appease that desire within ourselves to know what's next, even though worry doesn't relieve uncertainty in any way, shape, or form, does it? It just temporarily, dear friends, makes us feel like we have some control. And what do we do when we worry? Well, we do many and various things as human beings, as worriers. We spend money, we watch TV, we binge watch, we internalize, we blame others for our problems, we eat and drink to excess, we compare our lives to the people's other lives, we turn inward to ourselves, we get sucked into a social media vortex, we obsess over the news, we judge other people, we do all the things that people do when they are worried and uncomfortable with uncertainty. It's not something to feel ashamed about, though, dear friends. It's all of us. It's all of us. Whether you're here in the sanctuary, listening on the radio, or on the live stream, it's all of us. We are a team of human worriers, but we're in it together. Worry was real for those first disciples thousands of years ago, and dear friends, worry and its implications are real for us today as well. Keep in mind that Jesus, even when he was counseling people about worry in our text, he was aware of the cross that was in his future. So let me say, Jesus isn't indifferent about pain, right? He was sweating droplets of blood as he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, which led him to say this, "Nevertheless, not my will, Father, but yours be done." And that task right there may seem overwhelming in scope, but Jesus calls us to trust God, not to worry, not to be anxious. So I'm sure your mind is saying, that's great stuff, Pastor, but how are we supposed to not be anxious about the uncertainties and discomforts of this life? What are we supposed to do? What's an alternative to being in a state of worry? Jesus says this. It's on the screen. Seek first the kingdom of God, or another way to translate that, the reign of God and his righteousness. Seek first God's kingdom. As I think about those words, but I want to lead off and say, it doesn't mean first in sequence, seek first. It means first in priority, seek first. See, what it isn't that we're to strive for the kingdom of God for a period of time so that we may then feel free to strive for another thing, but that we should just keep the kingdom of God at the forefront of our minds and the forefront of our concerns always. That's what it means. Let me say that the Greek word for seek first in our text there can also be interpreted as strive for first, make every effort first, look out for first. So the antidote for worry is this: be on the lookout for God's kingdom. Seek it. Watch for it. Strive first indeed for the reign of God in your life. You should keep the kingdom of God in the forefront of your concerns always, or as I always say, in the forefront of your mind. And since the reign of Jesus Christ is already present on earth, means that each one of us should take first concern to belonging to it in the here and now, coming into its sphere of working in the here and now. So what's God's kingdom, or what is the reign of God, as I say? Well, a simple way to understand the kingdom of God or the reign of God is to identify it with Jesus and his gracious rule of forgiveness and eternal life. It's pretty simple. The kingdom of God includes heaven, of course, but on that last day, the kingdom of God will be the same as heaven. But as I said, the kingdom of God and the reign of God already exists here on earth. Where is that? You're in it, where the gospel is preached and the sacraments are administered according to the command of Jesus our Lord. There the kingdom reigns. So let me say, here the kingdom reigns. The Holy Spirit works faith. The Holy Spirit sustains faith through the means that he gives us. The means that are sitting on the altar lying before you, our Lord's body and blood given and shed for you. When we spend our lives watching for it, striving for it, working for it, experiencing it, when we keep it at the forefront of our minds, the kingdom of God, Jesus says we don't need to worry. In directing us to the kingdom of God, Jesus is offering you and I a worry alternative. He pulls us out of ourselves, if you will. How about if I put it that way? He invites us to put our energy towards something productive. Welcoming in God's kingdom, welcoming in the reign of God, celebrating that truth every chance we get, just as we gather here today to worship and to thank God for the wonderful gifts that he gives us. Jesus says we must not refrain from anxiety, but actually replace anxiety for earthly matters with an overriding concern of seeking the things of God. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek the reign of God. Go to the places where Jesus is reigning with his gracious presence. Receive his gifts of forgiveness and righteousness. To learn his truth. To respond to his call as well. You don't have to chase after it, dear friends. You don't even have to make it up. It's already there for you. It's here and it's near and it's lying right before you. And you're hearing it proclaimed this minute. All of that should be the first place in your life. To seek the kingdom of God is to seek the gospel. God's promise us mercy. He promises righteousness through Jesus. God's righteousness is found wherever he's found, at work, making the world right again, one sinner at a time. He says, seek and you will find God at work. You'll find God at work here in this place in your life. Here, the King is at work, giving you the gifts of the kingdom of life. Here, your day, your week, your life is reorientated, if you will, to its center. And your center is Christ, of course. Here you meet him. Here you gather to hear his word. You come to this place where Jesus is present and reigning. You come to receive the gift of forgiveness and everlasting life and righteousness in his body and blood, one for you. All of this, Luther says, our friend Martin Luther in his catechism says, it is our duty then to thank and praise, serve and obey God. The Father who provides for the lilies, the Father who provides for the birds who don't and cannot trust in God. He also abundantly provides for them, so he'll abundantly provide for us who do trust and believe in him. So in light of all that could make us anxious and worry, it's good to give thanks to the Lord, as you're doing today. It's good for us to be here this day to give thanks for everything we have. I think of food on the table. I think of the freedoms that we still have in this country to gather together. I think of family and friends and the clothing on our back. I think of the roof over our head, the opportunities to worship and give thanks to our giving God. Remember the words of the Apostle Paul. These words were penned while he was in prison, in fact, and they're on the screen for you. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And guess what? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Dear friends, that's the kingdom and reign of God. That's the power. That's the kingdom power. When humans do that, when Jesus' followers learn to do this, imagine what's possible. That's what Jesus was teaching his friends. Learn to do this. Learn to live without worry, and it opens up a lot of space in our lives. It's the key to the kingdom, and it frees us up to give our whole hearts, our energy, our gifts, our concerns to our neighbors, and especially our circle of influence that we deal with every day as we move and seek the reign of God and Jesus Christ in our lives. In our striving for the kingdom and the reign of God, maybe the best way for us to express gratitude isn't through all of the, you know, the big words, the platitudes and so forth, but by celebrating God's presence just in the ordinary 365 days of living a thankful life, of being in thankful living. That's to be, that's what God wants us to be. Thanks be to God that Jesus believes in our capacity to recognize our worry and then to release it. Thanks be to God that the Holy Spirit is within us and surrounds us and guides us and empowers us every step of the way through thankful living today, tomorrow, and every day. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, who frees you from your worry as you keep the kingdom of God at the forefront of your mind. Amen.